It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Denzel Mims with another monster score of 70 yards.
Quick pass to Crowder, trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes. Crowder, it's a foot race, and Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Darnold escapes, trying to buy himself some time. Fires end zone. It's caught. Incredible play by Darnold.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know and it's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for part two of the mailbag with the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all of that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. So let's jump right back into the mailbag. Next question comes in from John Filippelli. He says, what would be one surprise player you think the Jets would keep and one surprise player they might cut? So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that one surprise player that might get cut is Christopher Herndon. And I'll tell you why. Herndon was a rookie in 2018. So that means that as a mid-round pick, he'd be going into the final year of his contract. If he goes into camp and is bad, because let's be honest, even though he played a little bit better down the stretch, he was terrible last year. You've got a coaching staff that has no allegiance to him. They may go out in free agency or in the draft and get their own tight end. Perhaps they like Ryan Griffin. Perhaps they even like Trevon Wesco as a blocker. I don't know. It's very possible that Christopher Herndon could be gone. So that would be my surprise cut. As far as the surprise guy that they might keep, I'm going to go with Greg Van Roten. I know that a lot of people will look at that and say the Jets have to upgrade at guard, and they do, but Van Roten doesn't make that much. So theoretically, they could keep him and even use him as a backup or a swing guard. And while they could go out and pay a Joe Tooney or somebody like that, Van Roten doesn't necessarily have to be shown the door. So my surprise potential cut would be Herndon, and my surprise potential keep would be Greg Van Roten. What do you think, Chris?
Well, you definitely got me with the surprise on the first one. I understand your logic and don't disagree with it. I wasn't expecting that to be an answer though, and also one little part that you are missing out is Herndon has been incredibly impressive in all the training camps over these last couple of years. So I have a hard time expecting or thinking that he's going to come in and look bad in training camp. I'm not. Now, will that mean anything, and will that he produce going forward? That's a whole another story, a whole another question that I don't have an answer for. But from everything I've seen from Herndon, I expect him to do enough in free agency that there are in training camp in the off season that they're going to be rolling and thinking that they can get something out of him going forward. My surprise cut, I'm going to go with Jamison Crowder. I don't think that they're going to do it, but I won't be surprised at all if they do it. It's a tricky situation because in a vacuum, I'm perfectly fine with, moving on from Jamison Crowder and that contract and, you know, drafting a replacement, signing somebody else. I'm perfectly fine with that in a vacuum. if they're going to cut Crowder, I could be fine with it if they go and they make a couple other signings. You know, if they sign a Godwin or a Kenny Galladay or Allen Robinson, then I'd be much more cool with it. And right now, I can't say, yeah, go ahead and cut Jamison Crowder. Because, again, I've been talking about this for a year. So he is the one receiver that we can – veteran receiver you can trust. We saw some good things out of Mims last year. Expect him to draft somebody. But if they don't sign one of those bigger-name free agent veterans, then I'm going to really want to keep him. But one thing – also, the – Now, how much of this was on the playmakers that the 49ers had and their roster construction, how their roster was built. But their offense did not make a lot of use out of the slot receivers. I think their numbers were they threw to the slot receivers like the 29th most in the league, so like third fewest in the league. I could see that being a cut. And again, I will criticize that if it doesn't come with any other free agency moves. Depending on the other free agency moves, I might get on board with it. But I think that would be leaning towards the biggest surprise cut. As for a surprise keeper, I can't see. I don't think Van Roten would be a surprise there just because he's not expensive. It would be a surprise if they don't sign somebody that would be more of that you could pencil in as an upgrade over him. But I certainly wouldn't be surprised at all if they signed an upgrade over him and they kept him around for death because he's not that expensive. And really just like, who else is there? I was starting to write my, you know, blueprint for a free agency thing where I'm just going to go position by position on what they need, the Jets need to look to improve and address. And just talk about who to bring back. It's Marcus May. That's the only one that you need and really want to bring back. You can make an argument that Brian Poole could come back, sure. But you could just go and sign Kaywan Williams and that'll be fine. The only real argument is Marcus May. So go ahead and let everyone else walk. I'm not trying to really bring somebody back. The Van Roten I'm cool with because it's cheap. But, you know, like I don't see a Henry Anderson coming back. Jordan Jenkins ain't coming back. These guys who are up there, they're going to be gone. I don't see anybody that I can really point at as a surprise that they're still on this roster.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Next question comes in from Harry Skillman. He says, not that I think it would happen, but how sweet would it be on a scale of potato to cherry pie to watch Jamal Adams tantrum if, A, the Jets trade for Russell Wilson and become immediate playoff contenders, and B, the Seahawks as a result become a dumpster fire in the NFC West? Oh, yeah, that would be the sweetest of sweet. We're talking the best cherry pie that you can find.
Yeah, so Gustoon, our guy Gustoon, should like and respect this because I'm going to pull out the German word of schadenfreude. I know I probably mispronounced that wrong, but That's exactly what it would be, man. Like, are you kidding me? I saw that and I just started like literally busted out laughing. When Russell said that, I was just, he's trying to get away from Jamal. He wants to get away from Jamal. Obviously that's not the case, but that's exactly how it popped up in my head. And I just couldn't stop laughing. Jamal wanted to get out of here so bad. He was so happy to be in Seattle. And now Russell Wilson's talking about, get me help, get me offensive line. Why'd you trade for the safety? Help me with the offensive line. Get me out of here. It's hilarious. And if something like that really transpired, it's interesting too, because we'll see what Seattle does with Jamal. There's no guarantee that he's going to be on the team next year. They're gonna the talk was if they couldn't get a long-term deal done, that they might go ahead and flip him and trade him, and that would be equally funny too. Imagine that. The Seahawks looked around and were like, you know what? We do need offensive line help. We don't have all that much money. Maybe we can flip Jamal for draft picks and get some offensive line help. That would be equally funny. Basically there's no scenario that doesn't involve with Jets fans pointing and laughing like Nelson Muntz right now. And that's pretty funny.
First of all, it's Schadenfreude. And second of all, why did you mention Gus Toon? He's from the UK.
you're right. No, I'm sorry. The Sun Moon Rise.
Right, yes. Sun Moon Rise is from Jervy. Yes, okay. That makes more sense.
My bad, Gus. I'm sorry. I got the Sun Rose. I get the foreign guys mixed up a little bit.
Next question from Michael Christopher. He says, what do you think of a pick swap and trading Darnold to the Panthers, Niners, or Broncos to move into the top 12 to get a top wide receiver, pass rusher, or corner? Or would you rather have that extra second round pick and later pick? If they do pick swap, which player would you like them to target? Everybody knows the answer to this one for me, depending on where it shakes out. But J.C. Horn is my guy. As far as them moving up, listen, whatever deal is going to give them the best value, if there's a player that they really like, that they think that they can't get at number 23, and they could do one of those pick swaps, I outlined this. A move up from 23 to 8 would be the equivalent of the 29th pick in the draft. So that pick swap would be right in line with what you think Darnold's value might be. Even if you think it's a little bit lower, like say the 49ers pick at number 12, that would be an early second round pick. So also right in line with what you'd think Darnold's value could be. So I'd be fine with that or getting the extra picks. Either way, it really depends on if there's a player they really, really like up top or if they feel like there's better value later on. Plus also, if you do that pick swap, theoretically, you could always trade back anyway. So whatever they think is going to give them the best deal in terms of what they want to do for building the team, I think is fine.
This is listening to you answer that question. It goes back to, man, it's just nice to have a front office that you can kind of trust with this type of stuff. All these answers, we keep going back to, you know, whatever they decide to do, we're probably going to be okay with it at this point. And, you know, maybe our trust here is misguided. And we're certainly not saying that everything, they're going to get every pick right here. But this goes to, you know, my theory of the process over results thing and just knowing that they're going to go about the process the right way. And more often than not, that's going to lead to good results. The idea of pick swaps, I hate them. I hate all this stuff about pick swaps, and I hate the idea of, you know, when you trade like three first round picks, but then you get a fourth round pick in return. It just makes it all so confusing to try to figure out. I just want it to be simple. A first round pick for a player, a first round pick for whatever. It's too confusing, but absolutely. I am absolutely with doing a pick swap if it makes sense in a scenario. And if, you know, you can get to the 10th pick or the 8th pick in the draft, and that's going to allow you to take somebody, you know, a Jamar Chase or Jalen Waddle or, you know, a J.C. Horn or, you know, Jeremiah Owusu-Komora, like, if that's, they identify a guy, it's very rare that I see a team identify a guy and move up to attack where I'm not going to be on board with it, because they've identified that guy for whatever reason. And especially, you know, if it's on the defensive side, it's going to be something Salah saw that is going to work in their system. If it's going to be an offensive guy, it's going to be somebody that LaFleur is like, this is going to work in our system. It's going to be perfect for us. And I'm all for that. That's, you're not just trading up because you're like, hey, I think this guy is a little bit better. That means you're like, this guy is significantly better. It's worth doing, you putting some type of package together. And I'm all for it to go get that guy.
Next question comes in from Gabe Pellucci. He says, Chris seems extremely high on Trey Lance. Isn't there a concern that he would be ready to play right away coming from that conference and missing an entire year? Hard to use the number two pick on a guy who could be a red shirt and eat away at the cheap rookie contract everyone values so much. So I think you have a valid point there. It's not so much about the conference, but the fact that he was only a starter for 1 year. And I think more importantly, that there are a lot of things that he hasn't seen and had to deal with, because North Dakota State more or less entirely played against base defenses. So there's a lot that he's going to have to learn. And I'm not sure that he's going to be ready to play day one. So totally get that. I think Trey Lance personally would be a better fit on a team like, say, the Falcons, where they could sit him for a year, let him get up to speed, and then throw him in there. But if you really believe in him and you really think that you can coach him up, it might be worth some of the early pain. Look at what the Buffalo Bills did with Josh Allen. So it's really a matter of what the coaching staff thinks. The tools are there. The question is, how quickly can he get to where you need him to get to, and how much do you like him overall as a prospect?
Yeah, so I'll start with this, the idea of you don't want to draft somebody at two that's not going to play right away. I disagree with that for a few reasons. Number one, you're drafting a guy long-term, especially a quarterback. You're thinking 10 to 15 years here. So I'm not drafting a guy thinking about what he's going to be as a rookie. I don't care what he's going to be as a rookie. I'm looking long-term. So I'm also getting closer and closer to the point of being like, almost all rookie quarterbacks should sit at first. I've been firmly entrenched in the camp. If he's the best quarterback, you let him play right away. You let him learn on the job. I just think I'm starting to get closer and closer to the point where I think it will just benefit all these guys to be able to just not rush. And especially in another off season, that's going to be restricted with COVID type stuff. They're not going to have the same off season workouts. I'm not in a rush at any of these quarterbacks. Even if I'm drafting Trevor Lawrence, I'm not in a rush to get him out there. And I'm not convinced that Justin Fields or Zach Wilson doesn't need time, just like Trey Lance doesn't need time too. The Trey Lance thing is such a tricky situation for me though, because I listen to people talk about how raw he is, and I get it. I do get it everything you said. But mentally, his freshman year, the thing that makes me really like him and like fall in love with him is his mental, his football IQ, all the things he did. And yes, it was a lot of against base defenses. It was simple. But it allowed him to go to more advanced steps, allows him to work through his progressions, to look off the safety, to make those reads, the pump fakes, to throw the ball with placement, whether it's high and outside or low and inside. He's done all that stuff because everything was so simple. It allowed him to move on to next level stuff that I haven't seen from Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. In some ways, he is more advanced than them mentally. In other ways, he's not. So, and obviously, the biggest concern for him is obviously that he sat out the entire year. He got excellent coaching at North Dakota State. And I think this is something just in general we need to focus a little bit more on with college quarterbacks. Is there college coaching? I've been thinking about it with Josh Allen. Like, what if Josh Allen got better college coaching? What if, like, a big part of the reason why he looked so bad at Wyoming was because he wasn't getting good coaching? Now, I don't know the answer to that. He might have been getting great coaching there, but I do know the quarterback coaching in North Dakota State is great. And when you watch him on film, his freshman year, 42 touchdowns, zero interceptions, you see him do stuff mentally that I do not see college quarterbacks do. So he is raw in some ways, but I think he's more advanced in some ways as well. And Zach Wilson didn't see the most exotic defenses. They're all going to have growing pains. They all are stronger in little areas, but have plenty of work to do in other areas. You cannot even take into consideration for even a millisecond, oh, well, we think this guy will be better as a rookie, so let's take him. No, you got to go with the guy you think is going to be better long-term, because you're not just drafting him for this next year. You're drafting him for 10, 15, Tom Brady-like goals of maybe 20 years.
That's going to wrap up part two of the mailbag. Thanks to Chris for joining me as always. Make sure you're reading his very big deal work over at JetsInsider.com and following him on Twitter at CNimbly. And at Jets Insider. And remember, tomorrow, big day, a lot happening, March 1st, going to be a big announcement, and I think you're really going to like the show on Monday. Very special guests. So make sure that you tattoo that on your forehead, write it down, put it in your computer, put it in your phone, whatever it is you need to do to make sure that you don't forget that March 1st is going to be a day that you want to pay attention to. Go ahead and do that. You won't be sorry. Trust me, I think you're really going to like what we have in store for you. And if you like what we have in store for you on this show on a regular basis, if you could go ahead and give us a 5-star review on iTunes, we'd really appreciate it. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and turnonthejets.com.